The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We're with you on this Monday. Gosh, the 2nd of April, 2018. And Steve Elkins is here. Did you bring anybody with you, Steve?
Yeah, I brought my good friend, Ron McDonald. He's here today.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're...
I'm waiting in the sidelines.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, I missed you during your hiatus. Did you do anything interesting?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, a life changer, definitely.
Okay, well, you know, every once in a while we have those moments. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would
hey,
want
John,
to.
Hey, John.
Yes.
John,
yes, Steve.
John, you need to do that Ross Perot imitation you do. He's back.
He's back.
Do you remember how he did that?
Yeah. No.
I'm back.
No, the only thing I ever did with Ross, you hear that giant sucking sound? That's your job's moving to Mexico.
That's it.
Well, you know, it's good. And Ron, you know, if you need to take a day off here or there, that's fine. You've been doing your stint here for, oh, I don't know, 8 years?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, since 2009.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Steve, even though he's the rookie on the block, sitting down in God's waiting room.
By the way,
I don't know if you know this, Ron, where he's parked himself at.
No.
Don't give my identification.
Don't tell where I live. Your location. What? What? You don't think that the powers that be know?
Oh, they know. I just don't need a stalker outside my window.
Oh, a stalker.
These
are people over 26 years and never written me a bad check. So if you're going to get a stalker, do you think you're going to get raped or robbed or pillaged? Or they're just going to want to kiss you to death?
Be a stalker on an electric cart coming outside my house.
God, all this cynicism while he's sitting down there in God's waiting room. Holy mackerel. Gentlemen, I'm telling you, more positive note. I don't quite know how to put this because I don't want people to think that I've jumped back on the Trump train. But the more I look at this guy, forget the rhetoric, forget how it's done, forget how it's talked about. The more I see what this guy's doing, the more I'm starting to think, you know, that this is a good thing. So stop me, fellas, before I get too optimistic.
Yeah, don't get giddy on me here.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you for that, Steve. I needed that to keep me grounded here.
No phenomenon yet, okay? We can't go there yet.
But no, what
I'm,
if?
I'm
but...
waiting for this punchline. You've got my interest, John.
No, you really don't want it. I had several, but I think I've made my point. Oh, by the way, when's that book coming out?
Soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely soon.
Good. Yeah, I would like that.
Well, it brings to mind you have a new phrase on your commercial.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, help keep RBN alive till 5. I love that.
Till 5.
Who, did that one?
That was who the heck did that? Was that Michael Herzog that did that?
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay, I think it was Mikey, of which he's Ubering and umpiring away out there in Arizona. He's had a heavy workload, and he's
all right. That's it. That's my baby. Nobody's taking my baby.
What? Your baby? What?
That's my baby slogan.
What? Workload.
Keep RBing alive. Tell five. That's my baby. I'm taking it back right now.
Okay. Well, I'll let you fight with Michael, and I'm not getting in the middle of this one. He's probably listening to the show right now. Anyhow, at any rate, there are some positive things, and we'll relate those as we move along here in this broadcast. I'm feeling, what's the best term? Cautiously, and I mean cautiously optimistic. I want to play you something here. This is, I don't know if you've heard Governor Bevin, Bevin, out of Kentucky. Have you either one of you heard this guy talk before?
I heard the name. I can't tell you anything you said, but I know the name.
I saw the article on your website.
Okay. Well, here is the audio that goes with this article. And I'm telling you, if we have more governors like this, listen to what... Now, we understand politicians, governors, presidents, Congress critters alike, they all have a rap, okay? And we expect that. If they didn't, we'd look at them and go, what the hell is he up to? He's not saying much. We'd be suspicious one way or the other. But this guy, he has a head on his shoulder. He's not a reactionary. He gets his point across without really insulting. He was being insulted. The question, you will hear the question asked by one of the people in the audience, and then she just sits there, and as he moves along with this, she's just sitting there exasperated because she's not getting the answers that she wants. Folks, I need you to listen to this. This is Mr. Bevin out of Kentucky.
And I'm just an independent consultant. I'm not affiliated with any organization. I really admire the work that you're doing to help foster children. You've said a number of times that, you know, the children's lives is most important. We had a murder a little while ago where 17 people, including many kids, were murdered in their schools. And how do you reconcile the children's lives are most important with the comments you've made to the media about it's naive and premature to talk about gun control and that it's culture and not guns that is causing these horrible things?
I'll tell you exactly how I reconcile that. First of all, a month ago in Kentucky, we had a very similar situation. Made a very concerted effort to make sure that we removed the media circus from the healing process. So within 24 to 48 hours, you're probably not even aware, most people aren't, that I had a 15-year-old come into a school in Kentucky last month and shoot 16 children at point-blank range, two of whom died. A set of twins were both shot and taken to a level one trauma center. They lived. This is very real to me. I've sat with these families. You also probably are not aware of the fact that I buried my oldest child. Died under different circumstances, but went to school and didn't come home. She was 17 years old. I know exactly, not exactly, it's not possible to know exactly what another person's going through, but I know exactly what it feels like to bury your oldest child. I know what the impact is on a family. I don't come at this with a sense of sympathy, but empathy. The point that I've made that's been largely misconstrued, I'll reaffirm with you and tell you exactly why it comes from, where it comes from. This idea, just as solving this issue is able to be solved with a single law or rule or change, is naive and delusional. And so we shouldn't allow ourselves to entertain naive and delusional thoughts. It is part of a broader construct, just as this issue is. And the point that I made, that I'll reiterate, is that if we think that a part of what we are seeing is not a cultural problem, we're kidding ourselves. And the point that I've made is this. What has shifted in the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? Not the percentage of guns that we find in homes. And you can give me a statistic that there's now more guns. Fair enough. I'll submit that that may be true. I'm not going to argue with you. But the reality is there's fewer homes that have guns in them than there were 50 years ago when children didn't walk into schools and shoot themselves and shoot each other. That's a fact. You can confirm that. But I'll tell you this. When I was a kid, kids brought guns to school. Kids brought guns on the school bus. Kids brought guns to school in their own vehicles. Kids didn't shoot each other with them. So some things have not changed. What has changed? We as a culture, as a society, and it's very germane to this topic as well, we don't value human life like we did. We remove increasingly respect for the dignity of other people. You look at how rampant pornography is, the degradation and disrespect for women and for human life in general. It is so systemic. People of our age have not been exposed like our children have been. There's not a child in America that hasn't been exposed to pornography, I guarantee you, if they're above the age of 12. That's a fact. It is so systemic, it's horrific. And it desensitizes us at every turn. And so we're desensitized to the value and dignity of human life. We're desensitized through, and this is to the heart of what I said that you seem to take exception with, is that through violent video games, where literally you are encouraged, and you can roll your eyes all you want, man, but I will say this. You explain to me the value of a game that encourages somebody to go back and finish them off, where you get points for kill counts and you slaughter people. We're desensitizing people to the value of life. And we see it through the lyrics and music, and we see it through television shows, and we see it through movies. We see it in the fact that the mores of this nation have changed. We see it through the fact that we increasingly want to remove any sense of moral authority from everything. I'll tell you again, this, we could have 1,000 sidebars, and you could agree or disagree as it relates to what I'm about to say. But in a nation where over the last 40 years, we've aborted 50-something million children, and we have multiple states with medically assisted suicide being provided by doctors, at both ends of the life spectrum, we're losing the value for life that we once historically had. You can say that's good, you can say it's bad, but it's a reality. You couple that with the fact that all these other things are changing, that we're removing any sense of authority. It used to be that you had different levels of authority starting in the home itself. Only a third of children in a recent Pew study say that they have no interaction, for all intents and purposes, with their own parents when their parents live in the home. They say their parents have no clue what they're even learning in school. There was a study recently and an article that was derived from that and other studies that was in The Atlantic. I encourage you to look it up about the impact. And again, you can smirk and you can smile, but as somebody who's an independent consultant, I find it remarkable that you're so smug and you're so disregarding of my opinion when in fact I'm just trying to have an honest dialogue with you based on a fair question. But I will say this. Look at this article in The Atlantic. This article in The Atlantic talks about how young people are increasingly becoming suicidal and depressed because of the use of social media and the use of these personal devices and on-screen time. All these are part of a cultural issue. And this cultural issue, if we're not addressing it, we are kidding ourselves, because it also affects this issue we came here to talk about today, which is why these homes are broken, why so many children are finding themselves in government care, which is not the best solution. The government should not be raising our children, period. It just shouldn't. The fact of the matter is, we need people in the position like I am, and I had this same conversation less than an hour ago with the President of the United States, and I said to him, he should, I should, this home room was full of cabinet secretaries and governors of other states. Those of us that are in a position of influence and the ability to say something, shame on us if we don't step up and call people to a higher authority. And there will always be those, including many in the media, whoever the messenger is, they're going to find the imperfection in that messenger. So if the messenger says we should do X, Y, Z as it relates to this issue or adoption of foster care, people will say, well, who is this person? They're an imperfect person. Well, so is every one of us. There's not a perfect person in America, but that doesn't mean we don't strive for perfection. There's not a perfectly morally upright person in America. That doesn't mean we don't espouse and aspire to reach for moral higher authority and expect more and demand more of our children. Shame on us if we don't sound the alarm. You want to take any kind of morality and change the mores of a nation, remove any sense of higher responsibility, try to pin it on any one thing and assume the government and a piece of regulation and a rule is the solution, and then we're shocked when these things happen, we're kidding ourselves. Yes, sir.
Well.
Powerful stuff there.
He's the governor of Kentucky. You know, everything that he said, I cannot argue with. The one thing that if I would have my druthers, and we always sit back and we make our little judgments, and, well, he could have or he should have or he would have. The only other thing that I would say that gets thrown into that speech, and if that was not from the heart, if that was not a man speaking from his heart, then people don't recognize what men with hearts are anymore. The only thing that I would... I would have brought up the SSRIs.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Because this just isn't an issue of some kids that are disconnected, that are depressed, that are being getting, you know, that they're getting them on these mood-altering drugs. And even though the drug companies themselves know the adverse effects, they're not making it known to the doctors and or the parents that are the ones that are responsible for the children up until the age of 18. But there's many factors in this disconnect, and we've talked about a lot of them on this program, whether it's teaching quote-unquote civics again, rooting children in, you know, there is a hope for you and your children into the future because we have this form of government that supposedly is there for the people, okay, and not writing blank checks to welfare state. It's not what I'm talking about, because the very people that are crying the loudest are the very people that are depending on government for their next meal or their next rent subsidy or their next Obama phone or whatever the case may be. And gentlemen, I am, as I said before, I am becoming cautiously optimistic because we're seeing the system itself start to turn on itself, and that is a good thing. I give you California, where Jerry Brown, they call him Moonbeam, has decided that he's going to make his state a sanctuary state and that they're going to file lawsuits. And well, the people of California are starting to rise up. Hooray, California. Good for you.
Orange County.
Yeah. And there's many other sheriffs in, because these are the guys who are on the front line. These are the guys that have to deal with all these illegals. And it's not that they're all criminal, but there is a good enough amount of the people that are illegally in this country that are doing some very bad things. Murder, rape, robbery, setting up drug cartels. I mean, I could go down the laundry list. Donald Trump, this NAFTA thing, by the way, DACA is dead right now. I don't think he's going to move ahead with that because there was a compromise that could have been made with the Democrats. I'll give you DACA. I'll give you your $1.5 million. You give me $25 billion for the wall. That deal could have been cut and done, but he's not going to do it. Instead, what he's using that is a crowbar for the NAFTA negotiations. And what he's doing on and the market reflected today, well, there's a few people getting jittery because the stock market doesn't like the known unknowns and the things that we know that we don't know. But it's been a little bit jittery, and they were afraid of a trade war. Well, this man is doing exactly. He says, look, I'm all for free trade. Let's modify that. Let's make it fair trade. The blowback from China has only been about $3 billion, so something about pork and wine being sent into the country or whatever. They have 25 to 35% tariffs on American cars being shipped over there. The only thing the man is asking for is an even chance for access to both markets. I want to hear the people keep saying that Donald Trump is the worst thing that has happened to this country. Now, I'm not going overboard here. I'm going to remain objective. But I like what I see, and the attitudes are starting to change. And if you don't doubt that, Wait to the November elections.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
All right, we're back. I must have awoken a sleeping giant in Arizona. Mr. Herzog.
I win,
all aboard for the Trump train, fellas.
I win.
Do you know, guys, this might be the most prophetic thing I've ever done. Having, after all of this, having a show on this network called The Trump Phenomenon, you know. And at what point, you know, are we going to say to Jamie, you know, geez, Jamie, you really knew what was going on, and you were right. I'm hoping that he's right, but, you know, hey, I just on the outside chance.
A couple of bullet points, John.
Yeah.
Number one, I don't know. You need some common clever or something, because, yes, it definitely was Steve's idea for that RBN Live Tell 5. Credit where credit's due, Steve. That was great. It's a great matter of fact. I'm saying no, Tell 10.
Make it rhyme.
Yeah, it's got to rhyme.
Well, it doesn't. Well, okay. You know, I'll give you that. That's your job too. I have three jobs. So, you know, give me a break, fellas. anyway, you know, I just want to, you know, a quick reminder. Let us not forget that Trump also pulled out of the climate accords. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
and I have a show coming up Wednesday that I know it's going to even show more of a plausible reason why he did it. When he said it's a bad deal, oh, it's a really bad deal. And he pulled out of it. And, oh, by the way, indeed, I got this from one of my connections who I'm not going to tell you who he is, but he's high level in the military, okay? And he said, yes, indeed, Trump is pulling out of Syria. So there's another one for you, okay? So, gentlemen, you know, the train's going to – what's that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, okay, Mike, let me have a little cynicism stitched in this thing.
All right, go ahead.
No, I'm asking you to be a little bit cynical. You're bowling me over with all this optimism.
No, look here, John. I'm just a little bit. I don't want to say forward or above, but I'm just a little bit more optimistic than you. Not a lot, because I know you're right in the middle ground. Okay, but with what I'm seeing transpire and what I'm learning, even just over the weekend from what I've learned through Easter dinner with some people that I know that are in the military, plus what I ran across over the weekend and Trump pulling out of those climate accords, plus what I reported on last week, yeah, I have to say I'm a little bit optimistic here. I think this man is smarter than they give him credit for.
Well, and the latest is that John Bolton... Remember that walk softly and carry a big stick kind of thing? That's exactly what Bolton's being used for.
Yeah.
and it's I don't want to say hollow threats, but, you know, what did Ronnie Reagan say about a strong military? You know, the old adage is, if you want peace, prepare for war. Well, while the other militaries of the war, of the world, I should say, are maintaining a lot of men and equipment and doing a lot with missile technologies and whatever else, it is only prudent in this world that there's a very good reason why you want to be at parity or near parity to make the other guy think before they pull something. This thing with North Korea and Kim Jong-un, he's making friendly overtures to South Korea. Without Korea becoming a communist state, it looks like, and I'm going to make a small prediction here, that they're going to be moving away from the communism idea because, quite frankly, it doesn't pay real well.
Well, listen, as long as we have four intelligent men here, well, three.
It's nicety, isn't it? Isn't it nice that he disincludes himself? I like that.
I knew that was coming. we have four intellectual minds here. One little snippet that I did get over the weekend that I'm trying to wrap my head around is that I did get that there's going to be 570 military deployed, at least out of here, out of Arizona, to Egypt. And that is in about December. And these guys, their background and expertise is all in anti-missile defense. Now, I'm trying to wrap my head about specifically what that would be about. And so I looked at the geographic locale of Egypt, and obviously it's right there close to the zone. Which, by the way, I found out yesterday, Egypt isn't a part of Africa. It's part of the Middle East, but it's still on the African continent. Did you guys know that?
Yes, yeah. I did, yeah.
Yes, it
did.
Oh, yeah.
See, that means that you're the intelligent one, John, and I'm the idiot.
Well, like okay. I said, there was three smart guys here. You know,
yeah, right. Okay. But can anybody in the forum here, give me any kind of, you know, military, geographic, geopolitical strategy as to why they put 570 anti-missile guys over there?
Yeah, because the missiles that they just tested out over there didn't work too well. And
so
again, this is more of a deterrent thing. And now I'll stretch here a little bit. Israel is not real happy. We're pulling out of Syria. They've been running flights and doing engagements in Syria. Now that the Americans are going to be pulling out, the Russians are going to be there to make sure that everything is calmed and reconstructed. You're going to start to see Syria. By the way, hang on a second, guys. I got too much to say to try to cram this in before the break. I've got Ron McDonald back from whatever the hell he was doing, and Steve Elkins down there in God's waiting room, and the other guy is in.
I'll get off the line. You know, it's your show. I mean, unless you're talking directly to me, I don't know.
Well, if I can take this break, I'm going to talk directly at you.
Okay,
hold on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Kick down, break down, take down. Everybody walks into the crowded line. Break down, take down. You busted, busted.
All right, we're back. Yeah, Mr. Herzog. Yeah, missile technology, anti-missile. It's not working out real well, but we have a Middle East party over there that's getting rather edgy. Erdogan, whatever the heck his name is from Turkey, just came out and condemned Israel for slaughtering Palestinians. They weren't trying.
He joined the BDS movement. Go ahead.
He's making noises over there, and Israel's not liking it. It's being discussed and openly put out that, Israel has been running sorties into Syria, into Iran. United States is getting the hell out of this thing. They've tried everything in the book Iran is sending fighters over in Syria. They're doing it for the right reasons. They want their sovereign territories. They want their sovereign nations. They don't want to become a list of the seven to be deconstructed, blown to bits, and then reconstructed in whatever likeness, or for the interest of Israel, greater Israel. I'm going to make a little prediction here that within the next couple of years, Israel is not going to be in a smug position that they have found themselves in for how many years in this country, that everybody's bending over backwards to kiss these people's butts. And it's the wrong thing to do. It's been the wrong thing to do. So
the BDS movement is growing exponentially, John. But, you know, off topic just for a moment here. You know, I gave Steve credit for, you know, RBN Live Tell 5, okay? But then I could one-up him with Tell 10 and make RBN great again. But I can't take credit for that.
No, sounds right here. I like it. Good.
Wait a minute. No, we'll give that to Kelso, because if this keeps up, you're going to be
you can't give it to Kelso. You can give it to your engineer Mike, because
Mike just came out with this. Good stuff.
I think Kelso is going to be the biggest phenomenon, and you're going to want to co-host him with him, Michael.
Let me tell you guys a story about Kelso. Right, I decided to tune into his show the other night. Right, and you know, I'm surprised that all this stuff that I've put out there on your show and mine, he's not even picked up on it at all. But I did catch at the end of his show last week, oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, give me a call anytime. Here's my number, 701, whatever it is. And I thought, okay, I'll do that. So I gave him a call. I was going to kind of tip him off. So I go, listen to John Shore, whatever. All right. So the phone rings. It goes about 6 times. Goes to voicemail. And I'm getting ready to leave a voicemail. It says, the mailbox is full. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So, you know, he tells everybody to call him in, but he doesn't take any phone calls.
Well, no, I mean, that's been that way the whole damn time Kelso's been on this network. The only time I could talk with him is after my show and the few minutes I have before he starts his own.
Oh, is that
I'm surprised he didn't have a voice message with Donald Trump's talking on it.
Oh, don't give him any ideas. Don't give him any ideas. All right. Mr. Herzog, guys, thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Hey, you guys have a great show, okay? And by the way, nice talking to you, Ron.
Okay, Mike.
Glad you're on the air. Okay. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, give Michael credit on that. Make RBN great again till 10. Your board, the board up.
Make RBN
great again till 10. Your producer just came up with that. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. I agree with it.
Puts my 5 to shame.
Wait. You actually did that, Michael?
Yeah, he did.
So you didn't have an alcohol and drug-induced weekend here? He's thinking clearly today. Okay.
That's Michael's baby.
Hey, we're batting 1,000. You know, what I mentioned before, guys, about Trump's stand here, he could have made a deal with the DAPA, but it doesn't look like any deal is pending here. And he could have done a switcheroo. Now, remember the time during Obama's reign, they were coming in and riding on tops of freight trains. They were storming the Bastille, so to speak. They were climbing the walls. They were coming in droves. Well, it's happening again. There's a huge caravan, and the media is playing this down, saying 1,000 or 1,500. No. There's 5,000. Even Zero Hedge got this one wrong. They said 1,500 Central Americans are on a crusade across Mexico. Well, Trump made a comment about this. He said, look, he says, why is it that 5,000 people can go marching through Mexico and Mexico doesn't stop them? He said, they've got a better enforcement at their border than we do. So here we go, and there's more. Here again, they're going to get the idea that, oh, well, you know, we can get into the United States. No, you can't. No, you can't. And culturally, we're going to take control of this country again. It's already starting to happen. And gentlemen, I must say, the little socialists and the little communists and the little dreamers and the little snowflakes and the whole damn, the media included, has given their best shot. Now, you wouldn't have seen anything like this if Hillary Clinton, the pants-suited lesbian for my friend in Kentucky, you wouldn't have seen anything like this. But once Donald Trump got in there, they panicked because of who and what they stand for. And I warned people, you're going to get everything thrown at you but the kitchen sink. Duck, here comes the kitchen sink. And this is exactly what they have done. But you're now seeing the pushback against all of this. And I'm optimistic to a point, but as I've been saying, we're at a tipping point. And not everybody in this country listens to this network. I wish to hell they did, but they do not. But people are getting the idea from within the system itself. It's gotten so bad, so stinky, so corrupt, so turned on its head, that the system itself is starting to turn on what has been created. And it's about time. That tipping point, We're right at it. The pushback is coming.
It's brass knuckles time.
It is. And
it really is. It is. There's a window of opportunity. It is a small window. And in the hospital, we'll tell you that ICU, there's a small window of opportunity. A patient takes it or a patient doesn't take it. The patient takes it, they live. We have a window of opportunity here to change things, to turn things around. Mm-hmm. But it's brass knuckles time. It really is. And if he doesn't, we're in trouble.
Well, and you're seeing the predictions already for the midterm elections. What they're deathly afraid of is more people like this Kentucky governor, like anybody seeking a state legislature or federal Congress, whatever the case may be, that the Democrats, they've had enough. And I'm talking about the people who used to be considered to be the blue Democrats, if you will. These people are holding their nose. They can't stand it anymore. They have seen the end game scenario with all of this, and they're backing away from it. So these midterm elections, people, the conversation of the politicos out there, it's a red state, it's a blue state, and how's the balance in the House and the Senate and all that. No, I think what we're going to see is an absolute maelstrom this coming November, because people are now getting the idea that they can step out front, they can say what they need to say, and it's touching people. They're forgetting the political correctness. Now, I have not seen a better job done than this this Governor Bevin from Kentucky taking on a sticky situation, but being so good at it without really being insulting. And this is stuff that people need to hear and consider to make up their minds, enough is enough. And even states on the financial end, I said this and I'll say it again, they're looking at this. They know that the Federal Reserve is a poison apple. They see this going nowhere. Inflation is starting to eat up everything, and it's touching all the sectors of the market, just not food and fuel and all this other stuff. Well, state banks. More states are considering state banks. And gentlemen, I will say this again. If Donald Trump is the man that I think that he is or wants to be, I think what we might see is another currency put out there to displace that Federal Reserve notes, and that's what these state banks will be dealing with. And if we can accomplish that, we have gone a long way with kicking the New World Order, middlemen, give it a name, give it a time, give it a date, kicking them right in the place that it's going to hurt them the most.
John, glad you brought back in Governor Bevin's. That was actually a really nice commentary he had there about the children desensitized, anesthetized, basically. And it reminded me of a book I had to read in college by Philip Slater. It was called In the Pursuit of Happiness, an excellent book. You want to pick it up. But in the book, there's a quote that Philip Slater says that society doesn't need lovers, but it does need killers. And that he pointed the finger at Hollywood and TV and showed that all these things are conditioning and making the child a desensitized child without apathy. And I'm glad that somebody finally said that. But you're right. He did not mention the SSRIs. Wish he had. He should have, because there's many pieces to this puzzle, what he was talking about. And it was totally on the mark there, this guy. Totally on the mark.
I also think you're spot on as far as Trump
Wait a minute, is this Ron McDonald? This is not a voice from the past?
Yeah, this is Ron McDonald.
Is this guy live on air today? Ron, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing excellent, actually.
Good deal.
Yeah.
All right.
I took that hiatus, and I feel wonderful right now.
Recharged, are you?
Oh, yes,
good
definitely.
Deal. And books coming?
Yes.
Okay.
Books coming.
Okay,
yeah.
I just wanted to ask you again, that's all.
I'm still waiting for my book from Ron. Ron?
Oh, I have it on my desk.
Yes, I know.
No, that's the last one. I'm talking about the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
But I think you're correct about Trump. He will handle the monetary issue, but I think it's premature until he gets all his ducks in a row. He still hasn't got total loyalty that he should have at this point.
Yeah.
So I think he's waiting for that.
Well, and let me go back to this Honduran thing. One of the caravan's organizers, we want to become one, supporting us shoulder to shoulder and show that together we can break down borders. Setting out 6 days ago and marching under the slogan, I'm not even going to try this in whatever the hell language this is, Migrants in the Fight, during the Holy Week, the caravan comprised mostly of Hondurans, was organized roughly a month ago by the mysterious group People Without Borders, which solicited donations via Facebook and encouraged volunteers to contact them. Our mission is to provide shelter and safety to migrants and refugees in transit. Transit to where? Yeah. Accompanying them in their journey and together demand respect for our human rights. Now, let's take the Trump approach to this. Honduras, corrupt. Mexico, corrupt. Given whatever country in Central America, these people have had enough. But what if we can demonstrate that in this country, that fairness and rule of law doesn't necessarily have to be oppressive. It's conducive to peace and tranquility. What if Donald Trump gets in there and starts making a few deals with the Honduran government or the Mexican government, incentive to clean up their own house, their own mess? Look, I'm not a cold-hearted person, but I don't want to give false hope to people that want to trample all over God's green earth and try to bash down our doors. It ain't happening. And if it would, I know, and this has been done before, and I think it will happen again, that the citizens themselves will stand guard on our southern border. We did it before. We can do it again. So I'm cautiously optimistic, gentlemen.
John, wasn't NAFTA, wasn't that developed to basically stop the migration of Mexico into the United States, actually bring them some industry that they could stay there and build their own country
back
up? Well,
that was the whole selling point. That's what Ross Perot went off about, because here was a guy that was going into the public arena that wasn't a politician, sound familiar, had his own money, and he said, look, he said, that job, second time you hear the job's going to Mexico, and he was exactly right, because he knew what that was designed for. And this was not about, and many people had gone before. I've known people high up in the government that have tried to make deals with Mexico, tried to make deals with them, gave them big fat incentives, and if they would have done it, their country wouldn't have people trying to, it might be the reverse. Instead of them trying to beat our doors down, there might have been Americans trying to beat their door down to get into Mexico. They have been given the incentives before, but there's kind of a master plan of chaos and diversity, and a house divided ain't going to stand. Because the one thing that we all know is this country cannot continue, not with the supposed constitutional republic that we have and the fairness that that gives to all, backing the government out of everything, allowing people to pursue their own interest, once again get excited about life, devote their energies to producing something rather than sucking off the government teat. You've seen where that has got us. A bunch of mopeless, hopeless people rambling around screaming about equality, and you don't respect me. Well, you show me something I can respect, and I'll give you the respect that you're due. But don't tell me to respect you because you tell me to. Go blow it out your tin horn, whatever. That ain't the way it works. There's a communist thread that's been woven throughout this thing, and it ain't going to happen here. Not now, not ever. It's come close. It's come close to that tipping point, but it ain't here.
You know, John, I'm reading something here on epi.org, and it's talking about the NAFTA agreement. It says, since the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, was signed in 1993, the rise in the U.S. trade deficit with Canada and Mexico through 2002 has caused the displacement of production that supported 879,280 U.S. jobs. Most of those jobs were in high-wage positions in manufacturing industries. It's a huge failure. Why we continue with it?
Well, I mean, not only NAFTA, but look what they did with China.
Right.
The incentives were massive for U.S. companies moving to Mexico. I don't think that was the plan. We were told that, Mexico will be we can boost them. Companies can open businesses up there and put their people to work. That didn't happen. They were given the United States government. These companies were more incentivized with moving out of the country and operating on foreign soil or south of our border than anything else. And then you roll in on top of that, most favored nation with China. And they were smart enough initially to come out with, well, you know, this will change the Chinese people's minds about communism. They're going to get a taste of capitalism and freedom, and that should be enough. Oh, hogwash. You know, I mean, total garbage. So we have trade deficits of $800 billion a year with China alone. What do we got with Canada? What do we got with Mexico? What do we got with anybody? This isn't anything to do with fair and open markets, of which I am a supporter of. But you know what? If you're going to sell your $1.298 widget to me, I want the same opportunity to sell it to your people and let the market decide where the money is going to flow. God. If I, you know what? I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I could figure this stuff out.
Yeah, I agree. This is madness. Madness.
800-313-9443. I don't think people wanted to interrupt our optimism here.
Yeah.
We'll take your calls. We'll be back. Came and took it all away.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Out in the morning dew, morning.
Uh-oh, Michael.
Please walk me.
You reset my screen and it just went blank. Can you move that to another computer? It doesn't like talking to my screen over here. All right. Who do I have here? Murr in Wisconsin. Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi.
And Steve and Ron. Yeah.
Hello,
and
Murr.
When Michael was on there. You have a really good 10-1 that came in on Friday the 23rd. I'm trying to push back a 20-pound cat. He's hungry for his dinner. Quit. He's going to try to hang up the phone.
That's okay. If things keep going the way they are, you can carve him up and have him for next Thanksgiving.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that.
I got two cats at home. Just teasing you. No letters and phone calls, please.
Okay, this is from David in Arizona, I guess you call it, on Friday the 23rd. He called in right after that pesky Wisconsin caller that needs to sharpen her delivery.
Okay.
Don't know who that is. But anyway, he said, go tell 10 about RBN when you wake up tomorrow. Go and do it again.
Are you writing these down, Michael? Michael, are you writing these down? He's shaking his head no. Murr, I want you to call back, and I want you to complain to him.
Oh, why?
He's not taking your suggestions.
Oh, which Michael?
The one that's running the show right now.
Oh.
Just call back.
Like I said, that was from David in Arizona, so okay. I thought that was pretty good. He needs the credit for that.
Yeah.
Didn't come across real good that night, but I found it and listened to it again. He had a good rhyme going to it.
I would agree.
Would you really want me to call back and tell him?
Is that what no, he got the message. He's still not writing.
Go tell 10 about RBN when you wake up tomorrow. Go and do it again.
Yeah, did write Michael, write that down. Damn it, I'm telling you to write that down.
Is that too many words to put on a T-shirt?
I think it was too many words in a row for him to understand.
Well, Steve, you need the credit for putting the foundation out there.
Oh,
because
no.
Nothing would have been built at this point if you hadn't done the first.
Bill.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you one good thing. And Murr, anything else, dear?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Murr.
The front sight thing is starting to take off. People are finally starting to believe that this is a real deal. And Dan Sutterfield, we talked to him, and he said, look, he says, I'm impressed. He said, people, whatever you're doing on the air, keep doing it, because people are now getting, they're going out to gun shows. They are making up flyers on this. And they're saying, you know, you're able to get a $25,000 top-of-the-line membership with Front Sight that's trained over 1 million people. And I mean trained them, not just taught them how to plank and feel good about themselves. No. And he says, we've got people that are going out to gun shows, making up their own flyers, offering this just to the general public, and not mentioning, some are mentioning RBN, some are not, but they're saying that all you've got to do is call this Dan Sutterfield guy, and they're doing this at gun shows. Now, all's that has to happen is a few of these guys that got the boost or whatever at these gun shows to go, yeah, I guess this is a real deal. And then starting to talk it up, Mr. Sutterfield may be buried by this, but all of this helps RBN. And again, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, you were a godsend here, because this is putting some money into the coffers of RBN so we can help get this country straightened around, give it a sounding board of reason. And it's important. It really is important. So at any rate, I want to thank everybody that's participated so far. We have gotten nothing back, but you guys are absolutely right. There are no tricks. This is a real deal. Top of the hour break, Ron McDonald, Steve Elkins, John Stattmiller. We'll be right back.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. 888-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.